And it's because of the way we're presenting and packaging it, and they can trust that. But the 40% myth, as you add multiple revenue properties, I talked about 100% rental offset. The problem is most lenders are going to say, yeah, but what if it's vacant for half the year? So they're only going to take into consideration 50 to 75% of the rent, but add 100% of the cost. Okay, so 100% of the cost is added, but you're only getting a portion of the rent. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out. Eventually, the scale's going to tip, and you're going to have a problem with that debt service ratio. Okay? And here's the debt service ratio. And again, this is a quick slide here. The bank wants to see that you can pay for your mortgage payment, your taxes and strata fees, all other debts on all your properties, and only use 40% of your income to service all that, and they're only giving you credit for 50 to 70% of the rental income. So again, as your portfolio develops, you run into that brick wall. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have experienced this. So what we created is the 1.1% rule. I didn't invent it, but we've created this, and this basically says once you have three or more rental properties, and they have 110% revenue. In other words, $1.10 of income for every dollar of expense. If you want more details, again, talk to me after this. And if you have three of these, then certain lenders are going to disregard the 40% rule, everything I just talked about earlier. Because what they're going to do is they're going to treat you as a portfolio client, and they're going to look at that and say, okay, based on the strength of this portfolio, we're going to qualify this individual based on the cash flow in the portfolio, and we're going to say that it's going to stand alone. Therefore, you don't have to worry about whether your income is sufficient to cover 40% of the rest. Now, let me give you an example. Remember I said earlier about the couple had a $400,000 house, and they want to get 10 to 15 properties, $5,000 a month. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Susie wants to quit her job. As soon as I hear Susie wants to quit her job, what do you think is the first red flag that goes up in my head? Anybody? No income, debt servicing. So what I'm going to do? I'm going to get them onto this kind of program as soon as possible, because guess what? If you're on this program, I don't have to worry about Susie quitting her job. Make sense? Okay, so again, these are tools. I try to explain to people today, think of your mortgages as tools. Somebody was saying to me earlier, well, yeah, I'm just getting a refinance on my house. Even a simple thing like a line of credit, it's a tool. Make sure you're getting proper coaching on how to create the equity in your home. And we're going to do another thing maybe next month. I'll come and talk about the Smith maneuver, how to make your principal residence tax deductible. There's so many tools out there. Mortgage products are so diverse today, you can't just go into your bank and say, oh, yeah, please get me a product. It's got to be a tool that helps you as a builder of your portfolio accomplish your end result, right? So now I'm going to talk about a different sandbox rule here. And this is something that comes up quite often, and again, dealing with investors across the country, I quite often will run into this particular situation, and it may only apply to a small percentage of you, but I want to make sure I cover this. Because here's what happens. You're cruising along, you got the 1.1% thing going, life's fine. And, I've got my fourth property, my fifth property, my sixth property. Hey, we're up to eight properties now, and I'm auto-approved. You guys remember how I talked to you about last month, how you're auto-approved? And by the way, with that 1.1% rule, for those of you who weren't here last month, when you've got three or more properties and you've created that portfolio, you can go and auto-approve joint venture partners that way. You can walk up and say, hey, you want to invest in this property? Oh, by the way, you're auto-approved. No, the bank. You don't need the bank. I approve you. You can actually do that. And I'll explain that later on the break for those who missed it last month. But so you're cruising along here. Life's going fine. Everything's hunky-dory, right? Then you phone me up, you say, hey, we got our eight properties, we're using the 1.1% rule, everything's going fine. Oh, by the way, maybe you're a young investor who bought revenue property first and haven't bought a principal residence, or maybe you're deciding to now shift and buy a new principal residence. You say, hey, I want to buy a new house, and I know I need this down payment, all the capital I can possibly get for down payments. I want to preserve that for future down payments. So on my principal residence, I want to put 5% down because CMHC allows that, right? You guys with me? You can imagine, I'm trying to create this kind of scenario, okay? So he said, okay, what's the problem? Because CMHC has a policy. They allow you, you know, you can borrow your down payment. You can put zero down now. As long as, because what sandbox are we in now, right? Owner-occupied high ratio. You with me? When you're doing the 1.1% rule, what sandbox were you in? Rental portfolio. Did we just change sandboxes? So you know what the most common question I get when this situation arises? What's the problem? Like, can't they just take that 1.1% rule and I just want to refinance my principal residence with 5% down? Great, great approach, by the way, because I'm a firm believer if you could go as little down, I don't know if you teach this, I think it's great if you put as little down payment on the principal residence because you can get away with it there and then preserve as much money as possible to use it where you're going to need it, which is on your rental properties. I think that's a great approach. But what's the problem here? Well, but yeah, no, it shouldn't be a problem because you got the 1.1% rule going for you. That's in this sandbox, okay? Well, as soon as you put less than 25% down and you refinance in the principal residence, you just change sandboxes, and as a result, you now are dealing with who? CMHC and GE. They don't have the same approach. In fact, they won't even know what you're talking about when you say that 1.1% rule. Okay? Just word of caution. So what happens? It's a new sandbox, new rules. So the problem with it is this. CMHC and GE are going to apply their set of rules. This should actually be owner-occupied high-ratio deals because it's a principal residence. When they apply that set of rules, they're only going to take into consideration 50% of the rent from your rental portfolio, and they're going to apply their set of rules, and now you're qualifying under that TDS and GDS guidelines. If you have 8 rentals and you're only allowed to take 50% of the rent into consideration, what's the likelihood you're going to qualify? 0. Okay? So does that mean you can't do this? Not exactly. Okay? Now, does this make sense to you guys? I know this might not happen because a lot of you already have your principal residence and you're well past the high ratio side, but there are some of you who are definitely going to fall into this potential trap, and it's an issue of timing. And for 99.999% of Canadians who run into this particular situation, they have absolutely no option. They're going to be caught dead in the tracks, and they're going to have to put 25% down or refinance their house on a conventional basis.
This will also fall into, it's not this if we're going to buy our first personal residence, it's if we want to take some money out and go use it for investment.
On a high ratio basis.
On a high ratio basis. So if we want to refinance with CMHC up to 95%, we're going to jump into that other sandbox again, even if we own and we want to take some equity out. So everybody should be paying very close attention to how the rules change.
Yeah. Because, again, it could be an excellent strategy to say, hey, why don't I refinance the principal residence and then take the more money out and then I can use that money to go buy more rental properties. The key here, what was the biggest point I made in the beginning? You need a plan. Good. Some of you were listening. Okay? Yeah, so that means you can do anything you want as far as I'm concerned as long as it's part of a plan. Okay, let me give you a quick example. How many people here have children in the room? Okay. And your son or daughter comes in, and they got a glass of milk, and they trip, and they fall, and the milk spills on the floor. And they look at you and say, I'm sorry, Mommy, that was by accident. I'm sorry, I did that by accident. Let me ask you guys a quick question. What's the opposite of doing something by accident? On purpose. So here's my challenge to you guys as RAIN members in this room. Do things on purpose, not by accident. Does that make sense? Live life on purpose. Build your portfolio on purpose. So you can do anything you want as long as it's on purpose. And I'm going to give you guys a RAIN exclusive and a major loophole. This strategy, I'm going to tell you, I'm not just saying this. I'm blowing hot air here. This is actually one of the biggest loopholes that I've uncovered. And I can guarantee you, virtually, I'd be surprised if there's 10 other people in the country who know this rule. This rule can get a little complicated, so bear with me. Okay, you guys ready for a RAIN exclusive? Okay, do you understand the problem we just talked about when you change sandboxes? You guys are with me on that? Okay, so If you go into your bank and you talk to GE or CMHC, they're going to tell you we can only take 50% of the rent into consideration.